Praise God. Brother Buster did such a remarkable job this morning. We prayed all afternoon that we'd have a great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Brother Buster has been here several times now. He's traveled worldwide, preaching crusades, conventions, revivals in local assemblies. Comes from Canada, New Brunswick. He now lives in Alexandria, Louisiana. And we're just thrilled that he's here. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes. Brother Buster, come and minister to it.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We still believe. He's still God. The economy does not change him. He can bless you as easily today as any day. But in a not so good economy, he'll get more glory out of blessing you then. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. It's great to be here with Pastor Grant and his sweet wife and all the leadership of Calvary Gospel Church and you, the saints of the Most High God. It's great to be here with Brother Putnam. We go way back more than two decades. It's great to belong to a body of believers. I enjoy being a part of a band of brothers, someone who has your back, because I like it when someone comes to speak at a church as a guest speaker and you're not on pins and needles as to what type of theology they're going to get into. Amen. Amen? And we're not dogmatic, and we try to be holy but not haughty and sanctified but not sanctimonious. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. If you're visiting, would you just slip your hand up? Would you keep it up for 1 second so that we can look all around and see you? We're going to give you a hand clap just because you took the time to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As Pastor mentioned, and we'll not mention this again until the very end of the service, there will be no shakedown, but in less than a minute, we'll receive a seed offering, and God knows the need. Let me just say this. This is a great church, and you know, you've always treated me very, very, very kindly. But I don't just go to churches of this size. I go to home missions churches. And here a while ago, I went and I gave the offering back. They brought an offering, and I gave it back, and I said, we're believing that God is going to use this to open a door for this church. That was on a Sunday. By Wednesday, we're talking California, the Los Angeles area, God gave that pastor a building to rent that was absolutely beautiful, and they easily could afford it. Isn't God great? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, use us for your glory. We pray that everything will be done according to your perfect will. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Then why don't you give the Lord one more hand clap. Amen. If you don't mind, I am not going to get into camp meeting mode. Last year, I closed at the Louisiana camp, and I left my soul on the stage after preaching that night, and I don't mind doing that. But tonight, I don't want to get into camp meeting mode. I want to talk to you for about 20 to 25 minutes and encourage you and give you what I believe is a word from the Lord. Then we'll have a great time up here at the front, and who knows what God is going to do. But are you going to help me? Because I'm going to begin right now. We'll get to the text in about 10 or 15 minutes. But I'm beginning to preach actually right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced that if you are in the perfect will of God, nothing can stop you. Now, I'm a pragmatic prophet. I put these suit pants on one leg at a time tonight. I'm not a part of any deity. I'm a man subject to like passion. The reason why my wife has completed all these fasts is because we're believing God for a miracle in our own home, the same as you are. At the end of the day, I want the same as you. I want my family doing well, living for God, and the bills paid. But I'm still, avoiding any hyperbole, convinced that if you're in the will of God, nothing can stop you. Your home might be going through a trying time right now, but you're coming through. Your body may be going through a time of affliction, but you're going to be healed. I believe that I'm supposed to stand here and tell this pastor that God's not through with him yet. If it's God's will that you build that new building in spite of what the economy of Wisconsin is doing, you're going to build it. He owns it all. The Apostle Paul has traveled some 20 years and established over 20 churches. He has been in peril on land and sea. It cost him everything to do the will of God in his day. But he preached to his known world. He went on several missionary journeys, but he found himself imprisoned. He had been beaten, at one time stoned. But when Agabus wrapped his girdle around him and said, if you go over here, bonds and imprisonment await you. He said, you're talking my talk. Because to live is Christ and to die is only gain. We're not going to lose. If you draw your last breath into your lungs and are promoted to glory here, you're not going to lose. And he's taken you to a much better place. And this is a fine state, but there's some place a little bit nicer than Wisconsin. But he would get up and brush himself off and be ready to do the will of God. And after all of this, he still has not reached the place where he could say, I fought the fight. I've run the race. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. He knows that God still has something for him. I've come to talk to you about hope tonight. God has great things in store for you. And the best days of your life and of this church are not behind you. I just want to know, are you still in the journey? Are you as determined today to do the will of God as you were when you began? I've got 3 decades of ministry behind me, but I'm more determined now to do the will of God than at any time because I believe we're coming into the finest hour the church has been privileged to live in. Keep the sound up. I know this crowd, they're going to get loud, and I can't strain this, so we'll just work together here. My bishop, Brother Tenney, we were sitting in the lobby of a hotel a few years ago. He said, oh, Brother Martin, if I only had 20 more years. I said, well, Brother Tenney, if the Lord tarries and nature does its, you know, rightful thing, I probably have 20 more years, but I want to make sure they count. So Paul is supposed to go to Rome and stand before Caesar. Whoever thunk it that God would raise you up, anoint you, and place you before great men? We've come a long way, baby. We're smelling good, looking good, dressing good, but that's not necessarily the way Jesus found us. But ever since he touched us, we've just been going up, 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 up. I've never had a day when I thought I could do better if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I don't believe I could have gone further if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I believe that God deserves all the credit for it. If God says you're going to Rome, you're going to Rome. If God told you that there's a man he has prepared for you, one woman came to me just a few months ago. She said, Brother Buster, I hope God fulfills the word that he promised me. I said, what's that? She said, well, 6 years ago, he promised me a man. I said, what are you praying for? A man. I said, that's why you don't have one. You're just praying for a man. That could be your worst nightmare. You need to pray for a godly man, a man after God's own heart who will treat you like a queen. Don't you just pray for a woman. You pray for a helpmeet. Hallelujah. So after all of this, Paul has yet to go to Rome and stand before Caesar. But now when we find him in Acts chapter 27, and your homework is to study in depth Acts 27 and Acts 28, you're going to enjoy the narrative. It's amazing. We're only going to just touch a few spots in this little story here tonight. But Paul is going to go to Rome, and he's taken aboard a ship, but it doesn't say Carnival Cruise Line. There will be no smorgasbords with filet mignon, prime rib, and lobster tail, and creme brulee for dessert. He is taken in the state of a prisoner. Don't let your present situation dictate to you. May not be the most comfortable voyage. He didn't promise you a rose garden. This is not tiptoeing through the tulips. With those chains on you, just smile and say, I'm still here. They tried to kill me. They put me in prison. They stoned me. I've been beaten. But I'm still standing. Why are you walking on board that boat as a prisoner with a smile on your face? Because I'm in the will of God and I'm going to finish my course. The devil hasn't stopped me yet. Man, I got to keep this to 20 minutes, not because they asked me to. I'm just trying to do something different around here. I'm trying to let you know that I'm not as long-winded as I have been at times in the past. But I'm about to have a preaching fit. I'm telling you that, bless God, you ought to square that jaw, square those shoulders, lift that chin and say, my heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Woo! I've only got lint in my pocket, but I'm in the will of God. Things aren't going well in my home right now, but I'm in the will of God. My back is messed up, but I'm in the will of God. Woo! He got on board the boat, and that boat didn't take him to Rome. And some of you are having a fit. Because you felt this was the way it had to be and was going to be, but the ship didn't take you to Rome, and you're wondering about the will of God. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the ship that's going to get you there. It's the captain of your salvation. So why don't you just get your attitude back in shape and stop having a hissy fit and look for the next boat? So they get on boat number two, and they set sail, and time will just not permit me to go through all of the narrative here, but land sakes alive, they set off, and they got into a storm. Storms are not a sign that you're out of the will of God. Matter of fact, you may ought to take it as a sign that you're in the will of God. Because if you're a marked man, if you're a marked woman, if you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness, he's going to try to shut you down. There's a target on you. But the weapon that, there may be weapons formed against you, but they're just not going to prosper. And tongues that rise against you will fall, and neither will one hair of your head perish. They get into a storm, and they thought that they could at least winter in the Fair Havens. The Fair Havens would be a place that would accommodate them. But sometimes when you're in the will of God, even the most serene places that you thought that would accommodate you and give you a little reprieve end up saying, no, we can't let you anchor here. You're going to have to stick with the sea. And there were times when they had no choice but just to let the ship drive herself. But the ship isn't driving itself. In the wheelhouse, there's a captain who knows the seas. and he knows where you're at. He has a GPS, God's positioning system. Woo! But ladies and gentlemen, they got out of that storm and they sailed for a while longer. And all this time, nobody on the boat is showing Paul any deference. He's giving them words, but they're not listening to them. They're listening to the other folk. But don't you worry. You don't have to be self-promoting. You don't have to walk around saying you're a prophet so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, or prophetess so-and-so. When you go to conference, you don't have to sit where everyone can see you. God can place you in the nosebleed section of the bleachers. But if God has his hand on you, sooner or later, they're going to know who has the word of the Lord. You might find yourself in a pit or a prison, but when God gives you a word and someone finds that out, that will bring you before the king. They get into a storm so bad that they gave it a name in Acts chapter 27. Euroclodon. Good land sakes alive. That makes the hair on the back of your head stand to attention. Euroclodon. That sounds more dangerous than Katrina. Matter of fact, Katrina didn't sound all that bad. You know? I don't know what they could have named it. Helga. Helga's coming to New Orleans, but they said Katrina. Didn't sound all that bad. But it was bad. I lived through that. It was nasty. But Euroclodon, good land sakes alive. Still isn't to Rome. He's on ship number one, didn't get him there. Ship number two, can't escape storms. One is so bad they gave it a name. And now, I'm going to preach where some of you are at. I found you. Acts 27, verse 20. If they can key that data in real quickly and put that on the board as soon as they can, because some of you have reached Acts 27, verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Whoever got this message to Luke, the author of the book of Acts, said it was nasty. There was no light by day, no light by night. The sun didn't come through, and the moon and the stars could not break the thick darkness. And on top of that, the second ship en route to Rome, bound as a prisoner. Good Lord, I feel like throwing in the towel. I've been on missionary journey on top of missionary journey. I've reached my known world. I'm not so sure I need to go to Rome. And here I am at the most despairing time of my ministry. That's not what it's about. Get ready, because God's not through with you yet. You might be in the darkest point of your ministry. You just need a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. This church has not reached Acts 27 and 20, but some of you in here, you have. So what do you do when there's no light and no hope? I'll tell you what to do. You just listen to God, because the morning is finally going to come. Weep it endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. After Acts 27, verse 20, the next day when the morning came, Paul stood up and said, I've got news for you. It's not over till it's over. Bless God Almighty. He said, I'm going to go to Rome and stand before Caesar. If he could keep me alive through shipwrecks, if he could keep me alive in the prison, if he could keep me alive after being stoned, bless God, he can take me all the way to Rome. My heaven home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. I'm not about to throw in the towel. I'm not, because one of these days I will say, I have finished my course. I have run the race. I have fought a good fight, and through it all, I kept the faith. Hallelujah. And Paul said, listen to me, brethren. It won't be smooth sailing. There's going to be high winds and rough seas. But this time, if you'll listen to me, If you'll obey the word of the Lord, there'll be loss of ship, but there won't be loss of life. Man, I'm not so sure I want to set sail after Euroclodon. I have a question for you. Has Euroclodon scared you so bad you won't set sail? Or are you going to say, greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world? I've taken a licking, but I've kept on ticking. I've been through some storms, but I haven't yet finished my journey. Bless God, I'm getting back on board and I'm going back out the sea. After the tempest, after Euroclodon, they set sail. Lo and behold, they get in with storms so bad, it breaks the ship up into pieces. Some of them literally came to shore on pieces of the ship. What do you do when you've been a survivor all this time, and yet you were supposed to go to Rome, and the first ship didn't take you there, and you've survived storms, even Euroclodon, but bless God, you're a long way from Rome, and the second ship you boarded has disintegrated. Well, I guess I'll never make it to Rome. You just placed your faith in the vessel, in the ship, instead of the captain. Bless God, if he has to, he'll translate you to Rome and put you in front of Caesar. Well, I can't do the will of God because my finances have dried up. Then you put your faith in money. That was a mistake to begin with. Well, I wanted to do the will of God, but my job fell through. Stop placing your faith in your place of employment. God is so great, he can swear by none greater. He said, Abraham, I'm not swearing to you, and I'm not swearing to Sarah. Because I can swear by none greater, I'm going to step beside myself and give myself a word. I will not lie to myself. I will not let myself down. God is in covenant with himself. He cannot lie. If we're not careful, because of the bad economy and world events that are unfolding, we're going to get a doomsday mentality. A defeatist mentality. Well, we might as well quit because things are so bad. Absolutely not. This is when the church arises. In the early church, during the time of persecution, half the Roman Empire joined the church because they saw the grace of God in the saints. Now, Brother Buster, remember now, be the diplomat you've always been. Well, I'm not going to change. I'm going to try to be diplomatic as I can. But I'm sorry, I haven't come to walk on eggshells. You might as well just get over your little fit right now. I just don't know. As a matter of fact, some time ago, Brother Putnam, I was in a board meeting in one of your churches in the district. Pastor wanted me to come in. And we found out why. It wasn't for the reason why they wanted to meet with him. That was an ambush. And I was over there in the corner, and one of the members on the pastoral staff, the pastor said, I want to ask you to forgive me, sir, because I could have chosen different words. And the young man just sat there reticent. And I said, are you going to forgive your pastor? He said, well, it hurts. I said, no, this was a huge young man, maybe about two of me. But you see, I'm sorry, I come from Canada, old school. I'm the youngest of 19. Do you think for 1 minute that my mother sat down and listened to all those tapes way back in the day, how to raise kids and not offend your kids? Honey, can I have another 10 minutes here because I'm going way too long? When we were called to the supper table, we were not handed a menu where we could pick out our appetizer. And then what we wanted for the main entree and how we wanted that prepared and what we're going to have for dessert, honey. Many times it was just potatoes, but you did not throw a fit. He said, it hurts. I looked at him and said, young man, you might as well grow the hide of a rhinoceros and get your feelings off of your sleeve, because you ought to thank God for this, because you're in a church. You're not pastoring. One day you hope to pastor, and that's when it's really going to hit you. So what if the ship is disintegrated? God's going to get you to Rome. Only thing is, he's marooned on Malta. In one place in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples to get on board the ship, cross over before him to the other side, and he told them what city they were going to go to. Lo and behold, they set sail, they get into a storm, and the city they initially landed at was not the city Jesus sent them to. Big deal. You'll get there eventually. It's not the end of the road, it's a bend in the road. He has a purpose for you on Malta. You see, we love those high, high, high mountain peaks. When the Spirit takes us there, first of all, how do you know the Spirit took you there? Oh, I didn't say it wasn't the Spirit. I'm just going to say it like this. If you found yourself at a real high pinnacle, and there's a lot of temptation to let go of some things and to go the easy route, God may not have anything to do with getting you up there. You might better start rebuking. I'll tell you, some places the Spirit will lead you into the wilderness. Heard it preached at Louisiana camp, and I'm going to use it. I'm just going to tell you now, I'm going to steal it because I think he stole it to begin with, and I'm going to use it. Saul and David were much different in nature. Saul, when he was anointed from a vial that was man-made. And David was anointed, it came from a horn of an animal. There was sacrifice involved in the vessel that carried the oil. Nepotism can't give it to you. I just know I have a great touch of God on me, but pastor just won't give me his coattail and spread my name around the district so I can go out preaching. If God is for you, he'll open doors man cannot shut. So you found yourself on Malta. What are you going to do? You're going to go and get in the fetal position and say, I don't think I'm ever going to make it to Rome. Don't you ever call God a liar. Nothing special about me, but I'm believing before my plane takes off out of Milwaukee, that man's spine is going to get a touch from God from the top vertebrae right down to the tailbone and every vertebrae disc in between, every muscle, every nerve, every tendon, every ligament. I rebuke it. I rebuke arthritis out of his back right now in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to relent right now in the name of Jesus. Woo! If you're not yet in Rome, if you're somewhere out in the middle of the ocean called in a place called Malta, why don't you do what Paul did? Walked over and found a lukewarm fire and said, man, I just cannot live with a lukewarm fire. Oh, God, give us men and women to match our mountains. Men with backbones instead of wishbones who will say, tepid Pentecostalism will not do. We cannot afford to have anything else than red hot revival. Thank you for shouting on a Sunday night. Thank you for kneeling up here on a Sunday night. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when he approached that fire, it was a lukewarm fire. And there was a serpent in that fire. Because there are certain atmospheres, environments, and temperatures that make it cozy for serpents to survive. You have no idea what's living in a lukewarm church. You have no idea the types of attitudes. Oh, they're just suppressed. You know, they're just kind of sedated. But they're there. But you let a man or woman of God come along and say, what we need to do is have a blazing, blazing revival and go and get some kindling wood and get that fire burning. When that fire began to blaze, a serpent said, I can't take it. It's too hot. A Alabahu shaka torabahari yala mahandrabahuri yala baha rabahari yanda bahu shaka talabaha. And the serpent leapt from the flame and it attacked somebody. And guess who it attacked? It attacked the man who got the fire burning. You still want to go to Rome? Are you as determined today to do the will of God as you were 20 or 30 years ago? You've survived shipwrecks, imprisonment, stoning, Euroclidon, lost the ship, still not to Rome, and now you're somewhere on an island in the middle of the ocean. And a snake has tried to take you out. You ought to know by now there's a target on you. You ought to know by now that the devil is determined for you not to make it to Rome. Just hang with me here for a few minutes because it's going to get good. You've got to learn how to shake some things off. Just because they bite you doesn't mean it has to infect you. The poison doesn't have to go into your spirit. Because they're going to take shots at you. And serpents are going to leap out at you. But don't you let a bad attitude stick to you. Don't you let a nasty spirit get a hold of you. Shake it off! I don't know if Wisconsin is like Louisiana, and I'm not pretending to preach at a camp meeting or a conference up here. I just don't know if you have similar problems than what we have in Louisiana. But I'm going to tell you why some of them are no longer on their way to Rome, and they've given up, and now they're somewhere just simply surviving on Malta, is because they got offended. Oh, they used a lot of smoke screens. But as John Maxwell would say, the problem is not the problem. It was a facade. And the more they talked, the more they learned. You learned they got offended. They got snake bitten. You know what you need to do? You need to recognize the storm has tried to take me out. The prison tried to take me down. But God is with me. Bless God, if He can bring me this far, He can take me the rest of the way. Normally the thing would be to pull your hand away. But there's some things you don't pull your hand away. You take that nasty spirit and you throw it back into the fire and say, I resist you right now. I cast you back into the fiery flames. Get behind me. You have a choice. You have two scriptures you can use. You can say, get behind me, Satan. Or you can go back to Genesis and say, get down. Get back on your belly. Get out of my face. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. If anybody is sitting here tonight and you're Jesus' name baptized and Holy Ghost filled and you're still letting that bad attitude sit on you, you better shake it off or you'll never see Rome. And what a shame. It would be a shame for Euroclidon to fail to take you out, but one stupid serpent took you out. Thank God for my bishop. Brother Tenney, on more than one occasion, looked over the top rim of his glass and said, Brother Martin, don't get a bad attitude. Don't get a bad spirit. Don't become offended just because not everyone receives your type ministry. Don't you become offended because God has raised you up to speak to the United Pentecostal Church and many other groups. But if you become offended, your voice will be limited. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't die on Malta. That's what happened. The hand that had been snake bitten, just read a couple of verses down, survived the snake bit. And what did the hand do? It laid hands on people and miracles happened. That's the why, reason why that serpent came up out of that flame. It knew that God was going to use you to heal the sick on Malta and bring revival to Malta. So He just used whatever He could.
protect your anointing. That's the thing that God's using. I cannot let this be attached to me. I cannot accept this poison into my body. Bless God, I'm going to survive this. I'm going to live through this. And God's going to use this. I don't want anything to take the anointing away. I don't want anything to poison my spirit. I don't want it to be said, he didn't make it to Rome. He survived storms. He survived the shipwreck. But he didn't survive the poison. I fear lest by after preaching the gospel, I myself become a castaway. So I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. I remind the old flesh, you're not calling the shots. Because I believe that God has a whole lot left to do with Martin Bustard. It's not just Lithuania in September. It's Vienna, Austria. It's back to Singapore and then to the Philippines. I just don't want to find myself with a bitter attitude. Poor little old me. He's forsaken me. He's forgotten me. I didn't think it was going to be like this. No, 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 no. Get up. And now he finds himself in the presence of fickle people. Because they think he's a devil. They think the reason why he survived the storm, but the snake bit him, is because he has a bad spirit. Man, I'm having a preaching fit here tonight. I've never taken this kind of liberty. I've been more evangelistic, but I've never just made myself at home. I think God's talking to some of you. So the shipwreck didn't get you. The storm didn't get you. Euroclodon didn't take you out. And the serpent didn't take you out. Well, the next thing is, don't let fickle people mess with you. Because one minute, they thought he was a devil. Stop worrying about what everybody thinks about you. If God is for you, what you need to do is make sure one thing. Make sure that the hand of God and the anointing of God is upon your life. Keep a good attitude. Keep a good spirit about you. Always be ready. Always be ready. But don't you worry about what they say. Because if you depend on the affirmation of the crowd, they're going to mess you up. Because one minute they thought he was a devil. The next minute they thought he was a god. So if you are going to go on the affirmation and attitude of people, you're going to be on a roller coaster. You'll be up on Sunday and you'll be down on Monday. He had revival all over Malta, miracle after miracle. Stayed there for 3 months. But I've got news for some of you. You're the real survivor. You're still hanging in there. The poison didn't get you. The attitude of the people didn't get you. I'm closing with this. Your season is about to change. You're not forsaken on Malta. God knows where you're at. Get ready. You're about to head to Rome. You're about to say, I've finished the course. I've run the race. I've fought the fight. And when it's God's time, your ship is going to come in. Read it. They found the third ship. The first one didn't do it. The second was destroyed in the storm. But when God says you're going to Rome, don't you worry. He knows how to bring a ship into port. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. If it's a lack of finances, your check is in the mail. Get on your feet so I can stop preaching right now. If it's a physical affliction that's going to hinder you, but God says you're going to Rome, get ready to be healed. If it's something in your home that's run amok and you're about to get on your ship because your season has come, God's about to do something in your home. But mark it down. When God says you're going to Rome, anybody on the front pew, halfway back, or maybe all the way back in the far reaches of this auditorium, I preach to you tonight. You've been in storms and you've been aboard ships that have disintegrated, and you survived your rockladons, and you found yourself in Acts 27 verse 20. And the enemy tried to poison your spirit. He tried to tell you, you're forsaken on Malta. Honey, some of you are delayed, but you're not denied. Anybody here believe their season is coming? Anybody here believe that it's worth one more try? Then as a sign that you're ready to pursue the will of God until its completion, why don't you leave where you're standing right now and just walk down here and raise your hands? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They're going to sing here in just a bit. This is an invitation to everyone. Come on down and praise in Him. That's it. That's it.